Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Italian stocks and bonds rally as the government reportedly agrees to trim its budget deficit target.
Currencies in India and Indonesia weaken to record lows.
And Jay Powell stays the course, continuing his call for gradual rate hikes.
President Trump takes aim at Brett Kavanaugh's accuser.
How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember.
And Robert Mueller winds down parts of his investigation. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees and A's play the American League one-game wildcard playoff tonight in the Bronx. Last night in the NL, the Rockies outlasted the Cubs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
And U.S. futures are following European stocks higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 52, NASDAQ futures up 22. A holiday in Germany today, no trading on the DAX. The FTSE 100 is up 0.2%, the CAC in Paris up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 3.07%, yield on the 2-year 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, is $75.27 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.60 to $12.08.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1568. The yen, 113.82. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at ibkr.com. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Italy, where stocks and bonds are rallying, the euro strengthening after the Italian government reportedly agreed to trim its budget deficit target. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Italian markets got some respite after a report that the government has bowed to EU pressure over its budget. According to the Corriere della Sera newspaper, the ruling populists will seek to contain the deficit shortfall to 2.2% in 2020 and 2% in 2021. They're both down from 2.4%. That's seen government bonds snap 4 days of declines and the FTSE MIB index of shares headed for the biggest gain in more than a week. The five-star movement League Coalition still needs to release its economic growth projections before presenting a draft budget proposal to the EU Commission by October the 15th. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Here in the U.S., Jay Powell is welcoming the recent increase in wages. The Federal Reserve Chairman is also confident that a low unemployment won't spur a surge in inflation.
This historically rare pairing of steady low inflation and very low unemployment is a testament to the fact that we remain in extraordinary times. Our ongoing policy of gradual interest rate normalization reflects our efforts to balance the inevitable risks that come with extraordinary times.
Powell says he expects to stick with the central bank's current path of gradual interest rate hikes.
Risk premiums on U.S. junk-rated bonds have tumbled to the lowest level since the financial crisis. The yield spread between junk bonds and treasuries reached 3.09 percentage points this week. That is the lowest level since July of 2007. For some, it's a signal that markets are in the late stages of a long bull run.
In Turkey, consumer inflation rose for a sixth straight month, reaching the highest level in more than 15 years. The lira's meltdown contributed to an inflation rate of 24.5% in September. That puts Turkey's central bank in a tight spot after it raised rates last month to the highest level in nearly two decades.
It was another down day for stocks in Asia, while India and Indonesia's currencies weakened to record lows. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
Nathan and Karen, sovereign bonds, stocks and the currency fell in India as markets reopened there after Tuesday's holiday, with the rupee moving past 73 to the dollar for the first time. Meanwhile, for the first time since August 2017, India has lost its membership of the $2 trillion equity market club that includes the likes of Germany and France. In Indonesia, the rupee extended its streak past 15,000 to the dollar to reach its lowest level since the 1998 Asian financial crisis, forcing Bank Indonesia to again assert it is continuing intervention to stabilise the currency. Elsewhere, Hong Kong's Hang Seng index remained under pressure and Japan's Nikkei 225 index retreated from 27-year highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. Oil trading near the highest level in almost 4 years as supply crunch fears outweigh expectations for an increase in U.S. crude inventories. We get that inventory data from the Energy Information Administration at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jessica Summers.
U.S. crude inventories have finally started to rise as refineries take down process units for seasonal maintenance, which typically lowers demand for oil. Analysts are projecting a 1.5 million barrel increase in crude stockpiles in this week's report. Meanwhile, the industry-funded American Petroleum Institute reported crude supplies climbed 907,000 barrels. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. Checking prices now. Brent crude is trading at $84.87 a barrel, and NYMEX crude oil is at $75.24.
Shares of JCPenney rose 9% in late trading yesterday after the company announced Jill Soltau will take over as CEO. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett with more on that.
She brings 30 years of retail experience to the embattled department store chain. Soltau has served as CEO of Joann Stores since 2015. She takes over October 15th. The announcement does remove some of the uncertainty from JCPenney. Soltau now faces a business that has struggled to correct inventory issues and whose latest quarterly report left analysts fuming. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Homebuilder Lennar out with third quarter earnings in line with estimates. Revenue for the period came in at $5.6 billion, and shares of Lennar are up 5% in early trading.
Shares of Tesco are down more than 8% in London. The UK's largest grocer reported second quarter profit falling short of estimates, due in part to weakness in its Asian and Eastern European business.
The first day of trading underway for Aston Martin. Its London IPO valued the luxury car maker around $5.6 billion, putting it on par with Ferrari. Although shares of Aston Martin are currently trading below that IPO price, they're down 5% in London. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. John Tucker's right here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, good morning. President Trump says the sexual misconduct allegations against his Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, show it's a very scary time in the U.S. for men. And campaigning last night in Mississippi, he mocked Kavanaugh's accuser, Christine Blasey Ford.
I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller is trimming more attorneys from his office. Another sign his team of prosecutors is winding down parts of their investigation into potential ties between Russia and President Trump's campaign. Two prosecutors detailed to the Russia investigation for the past year are returning to their duties at other parts of the Justice Department. They joined two other attorneys who left the team over the summer. Everyone will receive an alert on their cell phones today from President Trump. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons explains.
You will hear a wail and a buzz at 2:18 Eastern Time, similar to an Amber Alert. It'll have a message that reads, Presidential Alert. This is the test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. The alert will sound on your phone as long as it's on, and even if it is on mute. It's the first such test to be conducted by FEMA. While you can opt out of Amber Alerts, you cannot opt out of the National Alert. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York State tax officials say they're now investigating the New York Times report Tuesday that President Trump received at least $413 million from his father over the decades, much of that through dubious tax dodges, including outright fraud. The 15,000-word Times report contradicts Mr. Trump's portrayal of himself as a self-made billionaire who started with just a million-dollar loan from his father. And the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, announced this morning, goes to a woman and two men, Francis Arnold and George P. Smith of the U.S. and Sir Gregory Winter of the U.K. The Royal Swedish Academy cites them for taking control of evolution and using the same principles, genetic change and selection, to develop proteins that solve humankind's chemical problems. Global news, 24 hours a day on the air and at TikTok on Twitter. powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, October baseball in the Bronx. The Yankees' 54th postseason. They're right back where they were a year ago with the same pitcher on the mound. Although the Yanks are hoping Luis Severino tonight against Oakland pitches a lot better than he did last year against Minnesota. He got taken out in the first inning. Yanks did come back to win that game. Ended up just one win shy of winning the pennant. Severino, 19-game winner this season, but he did hit a rough patch in the second half. The A's are starting a relief pitcher. They may use 8 or 9 different ones tonight. Aaron Boone asked about that yesterday.
We certainly are prepared for that kind of scenario tomorrow, and we know the A's have a ton of really good arms over there that present a lot of challenges for us. We'll just be prepared as best we can to handle that and to succeed.
Winner tonight plays Friday in Boston. Last night in Chicago, Colorado Rockies scored a run in the first inning and then didn't score again until the 13th with 2 outs, nobody on, against Kyle Hendricks. They had back-to-back hits and then broke through.
The pitch.
Base hit into center field by Tony Walters. Home comes Story. Par to third. The Rockies have regained the lead. 2-1 in the top of the 13th. Tony Walters with the biggest hit of his career.
Rockies radio calling the game winner. Longest winner go-home game in baseball history. The Cubs had tied it in the eighth. The Rockies are moving on. They'll play the Brewers. They just won at Wrigley to win the division. The season over for the Cubs. Had the National League's best record for most of the season, but offensively challenged at times. And in back-to-back home games this week, they scored just 2 runs, 9 hits in 22 innings. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
Thanks, John. In other sports news, the president of the WNBA stepping down. Lisa Borders is going to be the president and CEO of Time's Up now, the first one. It's an organization dedicated to safe, fair, and dignified work for women. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Good morning. Sports brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. New York state authorities are investigating allegations from the New York Times that President Trump and his family created their real estate empire through instances of fraud and tax evasion. A lawyer for Trump calls the allegations false and highly defamatory. Lawyers for two women accusing Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault say the FBI's investigation of their claims hasn't been thorough enough. The Wall Street Journal says the FBI may conclude its probe by today. Inflation in Turkey rocketed to the fastest pace in more than 15 years in September. Headline CPI came in at 24.5%, and factory gate inflation reached 46.2%. And Italian bonds rose for the first time in 4 days after a report that the government will offer concessions on its spending plans, committing to reduce its budget deficit targets in 2020 and 2021. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Aaron Roman, thank you. S&P futures are up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany, no trading. There's a public holiday today. The FTSE 100 up 0.3%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump ridiculed two of the women who've come forward with claims that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh engaged in sexual assault and other misconduct. The death toll from the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia has now increased to 1,407. The National Disaster Agency says only about 500 of the bodies have been buried. Francis H. Arnold and George P. Smith of the U.S. and Sir Gregory Winter of the U.K. were awarded the 2018 Nobel Prize in Chemistry this morning. And in Bloomberg Sports, tonight the Yankees and A's face off in the AL wildcard match. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thanks. 6:19 is the time on Wall Street. You know, this has been a big week for Fed speak. On Monday, we heard from Fed Presidents Eric Rosengren and Neel Kashkari. Yesterday, Chairman Jay Powell took the stage at the National Association of Business Economics Conference in Boston. And today, we hear from Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. He just sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's Guy Johnson in London. Here's that conversation now.
When I left my desk at Bloomberg a few minutes ago, the last thing I did was to check where December is priced, the possibility of a December hike. 72%. Are you comfortable with 72%, or do you think it's time for maybe the Fed to pause?
Well, we just submitted a summary of economic projections for the last FOMC, and I believe the median dot was 4 rate hikes this year, so that would indicate a high likelihood of one more this year. I'm quite comfortable with the expected path embedded in the median of the SEPs. I think that, my own take on a neutral longer-run funds rate is 2.75%, so I think getting policy up to a slightly restrictive setting, 3.25% would be consistent with the strong economy and good inflation that we're looking at.
Just so I'm just nailing down your dot. Your dot is, so you're still, you like the idea of a December hike?
I'm quite comfortable with that, yes.
Okay. What do you make of...
according to the rules, we're not supposed to identify which dot is ours.
I fully appreciate that. Sometimes nice to play with the rules. Just in terms of the data, if I take a look at the inflation data, it's a slight softening of late. Does that in any way concern you?
I think the inflation data picked up in a pretty nice fashion. You know, we're at 2%, just a touch under perhaps given monthly data movements, but it's improved quite significantly in the last couple of years. I had been saying for quite some time that we needed to provide enough accommodation so that we got to 2%. We have a 2% symmetric inflation objective, so it's completely fine to go above 2% for some time. In fact, we ought to average 2, be above 2 half the time perhaps. So getting inflation up to 2 is really quite an accomplishment. I would say with the unemployment rate at 3.9%, I think we're well positioned to continue with inflation at our objective, perhaps just a little bit above.
I'm going to get you to speculate here for a moment. What was your read on Amazon's decision to raise its wages yesterday? It's picked them up to around 15. It was interesting news from an Amazon point of view. Is it an interesting piece of news from a Chicago Fed point of view, from an FOMC point of view? Kind of just speculate for a moment. What do you think the reasoning behind all of this is?
Well, I think this continues a trend where firms, corporations are sort of announcing modest adjustments to the lowest entry wage that they pay their workers. On average, their wages would be higher than that because they have a variety of skilled workers in their firms. And so wage growth has been increasing somewhat over the last year or two, and we're at about 3% according to ECI right now. And during the mid-2000s, we were at 3 to 4%. We had slightly higher productivity. We have lower productivity now. And so that 3% probably seems reasonable. I'd like to see it stronger, continue to add to income growth, consumption demand, and keep the economy growing in a strong fashion as it is right now.
Chairman Powell's kind of talked about the Phillips curve being incredibly flat. Are we sort of getting to the other end of the flatness in terms of where we are in this process?
Well, the relationship between inflation and resource lag is quite flat. And so even though the unemployment rate has moved down to 3.9%, my own assessment of a sustainable rate is 4.3. We're only a little bit below that. So even with a steeper Phillips curve, I wouldn't be expecting much of an increase in inflation, but it's even flatter than that. So I don't think that's going to put a lot of pressure on inflation. My own forecast sees unemployment falling to a range of 3.5% before it begins to pick up a little bit more towards the sustainable rate. I think inflation could easily be 2.1%, 2.2%. It's the fact that inflation expectations are anchored so well, perhaps a little too well. I think they could be just a little higher and be better consistent with our symmetry around 2%. But the inflation outlook really seems quite good now.
That was Chicago Fed President Charles Evans speaking with Bloomberg's Guy Johnson in London. Thank you for that interview, Guy. This is Bloomberg Daybreak live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Taking a forward look at the markets on this Wednesday morning, S&P futures ahead by 7 points. That's a gain of 0.25%. Dow futures up by 55, 0.2% higher. NASDAQ contract up 20 points. That is a gain of nearly 0.3%. Price on the 10-year down 2/32 with a yield of 3.07%. 2-year treasuries at 2.81%. This is Daybreak. 6:25 on Wall Street, still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. We will get a further check of the markets and check the latest business headlines on this Wednesday morning. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are following European stocks higher. The euro and Italian bonds rallying on word Italy's government is going to rein in its spending plans. The government will keep its budget deficit target for 2019 unchanged, then reduce the target for 2020 and 2021.
Oil is trading near the highest level in almost 4 years as supply fears outweigh expectations for an increase in U.S. crude inventories. Checking prices now, Brent crude is trading at $84.85 a barrel. NYMEX crude oil is at $75.25.
In Turkey, consumer inflation rose for a sixth straight month, reaching the highest level in more than 15 years. The lira's meltdown contributed to an inflation rate of 24.5% in September.
At 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time, ADP releases its monthly employment report. Economists forecast businesses added 184,000 workers in August. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has more.
The ADP report is based on payroll data from more than 300,000 businesses. Bloomberg Economics anticipates a September rebound, noting the prior month's tally is below the six-month average by 37,000. Job openings have been running at records. Also on today's calendar, the ISM Non-Manufacturing Index and the Market U.S. Services PMI. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. The first day of trading underway for Aston Martin. Shares of the luxury car maker are trading below their IPO price, down 5% in London.
Shares of Tesco are down 8%. The UK's largest grocer reported second quarter profit falling short of estimates.
And homebuilder Lennar out with third quarter earnings that beat analyst estimates. Revenue for the period came in at $5.6 billion. That has shares of Lennar up 6% in early trading.
It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 12.05. Separately in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 11.60. That is this morning's Volatility Report.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures up 20. No trading in Germany today for a public holiday. The FTSE 100 is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.07%. Yield on the 2-year 2.81%. COMEX Gold is up less than 0.1%, up 80 cents to $1,207.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1559, the yen, 113.84. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update brought to you by National Realty. Developers of Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net. Good morning, John Tucker.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is insistent there will be a Brett Kavanaugh confirmation vote this week. Let's get the update in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The president took it to a rally. And he says really evil people are trying to destroy the judge.
He's had no problems. They've never taken him out of restaurants.
And Democrats, he says, are the party of crime. Meanwhile, lawyers for two of the women who accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault say the investigation isn't full enough in scope. And swing vote Republican Senator Jeff Flake says after reanalyzing the Kavanaugh Senate hearing last week, he questions whether he has a temperament for the job. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In mocking her testimony, President Trump is talking about the Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford's appearance last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, trying to recite some of her responses when she was questioned.
What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember.
President Trump was campaigning last night in South Haven, Mississippi. And lawyers for the president are threatening a defamation suit against the New York Times after the paper reported that Mr. Trump took part in dubious tax schemes during the 1990s, including instances of outright fraud that greatly increased the fortune he received from his parents. And New York State tax authorities, meantime, have opened a probe into the allegations reported in the Times. A spokesman for the Department of Taxation and Finance says the tax department is reviewing the allegations in the Times article and is vigorously pursuing all appropriate avenues of investigation. Special Counsel Robert Mueller trimming more attorneys from his office. It's another sign his team of prosecutors is winding down parts of their investigation into potential ties between Russia and President Trump's campaign. Two prosecutors in the Russia investigation for the past year are now returning to their duties in other parts of the Justice Department. And authorities in Indonesia have set a deadline of Friday to find anyone still trapped under rubble, at which point, a week after the devastating earthquake and tsunami, the chances of finding survivors will dwindle to almost zero. The death toll now stands at 1,407. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thanks. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, normally winning 100 games wins you a division. Not the case for the Yankees. The Red Sox were better, and that leaves the Yanks in the no room for error one-game winner-take-all tonight at the stadium against the Oakland A's, a team with 97 wins of their own, and they were under 500 in mid-June. They went 63-29 after that. Yanks tonight will start Luis Severino, even though his first half much better than his second. He did have three solid starts right at the end. The A's, in a surprise, are going with Australian Liam Hendricks, who only started 8 games all season. Their plan is to just use relief pitchers. Aaron Boone, 15 years after he hit a home run to win a pennant for the Yankees, tonight makes his postseason managerial debut.
An opportunity to chase the ultimate prize, and we have that opportunity. You know, that's what you play for as a player. That's what I'm in it for in this seat. You know, we have a special group in there that I think's capable of being a really special club, and now we get to go find out and chase that down.
Winner tonight, then off to Boston. Last night in Chicago, Rockies scored first inning. Cubs tied the game in the eighth, and then with two outs in the 13th inning, Colorado's backup catcher, Tony Walters, hadn't had a hit since September 10th, delivered an RBI single. Bottom of the 13th.
Calmly looks in, gets his sign from Tony Walters. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! He got him! Scott Oberg strikes out the side. The Rockies are moving on.
Rockies radio, they'll play Milwaukee starting tomorrow. That's a series between two teams who've never won a World Series. There'll be a new manager in Minnesota. Hall of Fame player Paul Molitor, manager of the year last season, won't be back. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
John, thanks. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The fight over the scope of the FBI investigation into the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh is largely beside the point. The Senate has already learned enough to make its decision. Kavanaugh's testimony last week revealed a temperament that makes him unsuitable for appointment to the Supreme Court. Consider the two Kavanaughs that have appeared before the nation. The first, in an initial Senate hearing, was calm and thoughtful. Then, last week, a different Kavanaugh appeared. This whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit, the nominee said in an effort to refute allegations against him. He could have set an example for how a remarkable person, one fitted for this highest office, might behave under pressure. Sadly, he took another course. A Supreme Court justice should hold America to its highest ideals, not reflect its darkest moods. Last week, regardless of what happened 35 years ago, Kavanaugh gave the Senate sufficient reason to deny him the job. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, the largest exchange-traded fund tracking retail stocks had its biggest slump in almost 2 years yesterday. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Amazon ignited concerns about wage competition, and Stitch Fix plunged on a disappointing earnings report. The $727 million Spider S&P retail ETF, known as XRT, fell 3.3%, biggest decline since December of 2016. The biggest loser among the fund's holdings was Stitch Fix. The company's shares tumbled 35%. Amazon's announcement that it is raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour also had ripple effects across the group. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The Environmental Protection Agency is pursuing rule changes that experts say would weaken the way radiation exposure is regulated, turning to scientific outliers who argue that a bit of radiation damage is actually good for you, like a little bit of sunlight. Supporters of the EPA's proposal argue the government's current guidance forces unnecessarily costly precautions. The decades-old standard says any exposure to harmful radiation is a cancer risk, and critics say the proposed change could lead to higher levels of exposure for workers at nuclear installations and oil and gas drilling sites, medical workers doing x-rays and CAT scans, people living next to Superfund sites, and any members of the public who might one day find themselves exposed to radiation release. The Trump administration already has targeted a range of other regulations on toxins and pollutants, including coal power plant emissions and car exhaust, that it sees as costly and burdensome for business. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. This is Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm at Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence. Futures this morning are higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing this morning, with Dow futures currently up 56 points. S&P's gained 7, while the Nasdaq futures rise by 20. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.08%. Oil is a little changed, and Shanghai rallied 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly higher as Italy gains 1%. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:15, ADP employment change. At 9:45, market U.S. services and composite PMIs. And at 10 o'clock, the ISM non-manufacturing composite. After the bell last night, Reuters reported that Mattress Firm plans a bankruptcy filing as soon as this week. Tempur Sealy spiked after hours. And regarding earnings this morning, Lennar beat estimates and RPM was mixed. In other news, Ingersoll Rand is buying back $1.5 billion in stock. And wrapping things up, Nike was downgraded to hold at HSBC on valuation concerns. Live from the First to Break a News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. New York State tax authorities have opened an investigation into allegations reported in the New York Times that President Trump and his family created their real estate empire through instances of outright fraud, evading taxes on hundreds of millions of dollars. A lawyer for Christine Blasey Ford is accusing President Trump of engaging in a vicious, violent, soulless attack on his client at a political rally in Mississippi last night. The president mocked Ford. And President Trump says the King of Saudi Arabia may not last 2 weeks without U.S. support. He's escalating pressure on one of his closest Arab allies to curb rising oil prices and pay for military protection. Bloomberg Sports. Tonight, the Yankees and A's face off in the AL wildcard match. The Rockies beat the Cubs 2-1 in the longest winner-go-home postseason game in Major League history. And finally, Nathan, from Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yes.
On this day in history, Edgar Allan Poe walked into a bar in 1849.
Oh.
A few days later, he was dead. The writer arrived at the Baltimore Tavern dazed and unresponsive, wearing clothes that didn't belong to him. Sounds like Tom Keene.
Oh, wow.
Global
you
news.
You went there.
24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
Well, your inbox is filling up with a lot of Tom Keene emails right now, John.
Do you like your job, John Tucker?
You're no kidding.
You're going to be in trouble in about 10 minutes when I tell him.
Don't tell him.
Let's get back on. Yeah.
I won't be here.
Yeah. Let's get back on track here, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio, joined by John Farrow. Good morning, John. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check on what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, as we've been talking about, New York State opening a probe into the New York Times report on potential tax fraud by the Trump family. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accusers saying the FBI investigation into the nominee isn't broad enough. And Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein plans to meet with two House committees a week from tomorrow on reports that he talked about secretly recording President Trump. More now on the New York Times report and more from the president, his father, and their taxes. We're joined now by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kate, this was a very thorough expose by the Times into how the president's father supported him through the years with potentially illegal tax moves. Now New York tax authorities are investigating. How big an issue could this be?
Well, I think it's to put it lightly, it's one more thing in the list of things that are both a distraction and a liability for Trump and potentially Republicans who are in his party heading into, you know, the midterm elections, which are just now barely a month out. So I think it's, you know, remains to be seen what more will come of it, particularly in the next month or so. But just having this out there, I think, again, kind of just goes to undercut Trump's credibility and give one more reason for his detractors to criticize him from a political standpoint.
Yeah, the White House is apparently making that point in the statement it put out about the New York Times report, essentially saying the paper should focus more on the growing economy and the successes of the administration and less on reporting negative stories about the president. At the same time, that White House reaction wasn't exactly shooting down the report and calling it false.
Yeah, I mean, we have – it is a kind of standard Trump line, you know, to sort of blame the media and accuse the media sort of either explicitly or implicitly of essentially being biased against the administration and focusing overly on the negative. I mean, I think it's obvious at this point that if Trump had his druthers, no one would talk about anything except for the fact that the economy is growing and that is solely in his mind due to his policies. But I think that, you know, you make an excellent point when you point out that they're not really directly denying it. However, at the same time, there was, you know, a Trump personal lawyer that did come out and call the story, you know, say that the accusations that are raised in the story are false. So I think they're kind of, you know, White House is responding from a different perspective, I think, a little bit than, you know, Trump's personal lawyers.
Yeah, or at least saying that the tax issues had been looked at and litigated years ago. Let's look into the other major investigation going on. Of course, the FBI looking into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's past, and his accusers are now raising concern that that investigation isn't going far enough, even as the FBI is, you know, facing a deadline to wrap up this investigation.
Yeah, I mean, it's real striking to me to hear that the attorneys for Christine Blasey Ford, who testified last week, say that she's not been contacted yet by the FBI. I think that you know, would be significant given that everyone, I think, or at least my understanding, I think a lot of others' understanding of the probe was that it was supposed to be looking into whether or not there was a potential to corroborate some of the claims that she made, or, you know, provide additional information on the claims that she made in her Senate testimony. So I think that's certainly giving people pause. I mean, we're getting ever closer to this Friday deadline, and Mitch McConnell shows no signs of wanting to postpone the vote. In fact, he seems to be proceeding full steam ahead. I think everyone's waiting to see what, if anything, the FBI comes up with. But I think that, you know, some of these questions that are being raised, you know, certainly laying the groundwork for Democratic criticism of the FBI probe, saying that it wasn't thorough enough.
Yeah, and as this FBI investigation goes on, President Trump is really now openly mocking that first accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, and what she had to say in her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And here's the president at a rally in Mississippi last night.
I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know.
You know, it was just a few days ago that President Trump was, you know, really holding his fire. Now it seems like the gloves are off.
Absolutely, it does. And I think that, you know, two things here. I think one is that it is an indication potentially that the president isn't wavering on his support for Kavanaugh. I think there was some speculation earlier in the week when the president was, you know, sounding more measured on his support of whether or not Trump might be considering dumping him. I think this cuts against that speculation, obviously. And I think also it shows the degree to which Trump still is not scared of this issue, and Republicans aren't scared of this issue when it comes to their base. Because as you heard in the sound you just played, you know, there he was greeted with his impression, his mocking and ridiculing of this accuser. Christine Blasey Ford was met with, you know, rousing cheers and support at this campaign style rally. So I think that what we're seeing is on both sides, in terms of Democrats and Republicans, the views on this issue are hardening. And I think Republicans are aware of that. And when it comes to their base, which is going to be important in this midterm election, that may, you know, embolden them to stick with Kavanaugh.
Yeah. And you know, putting this in the broader context of the overall Me Too movement, what did you make of the president saying that this is now a very scary time in America for men?
Well, I think that the president is perhaps reinterpreting the Me Too movement, and that this is kind of Me Too in a way 2.0, in that now what we're seeing is this very strong reaction from certain men, you know, who are worried about, I think, an overreach of the Me Too movement and what that could mean for you know, men in general. And I think that the president is very clearly focused on that aspect. And, you know, certainly that's where his concerns lie, and he's made that very clear.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks for clarifying all this for us. Always appreciate your insight. And you can read more about all these stories out of Washington on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest from the nation's capital on Bloomberg Radio in D.C. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. We are watching shares of Lennar up 5.5% in early trading. A reported third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. And Executive Chairman Stuart Miller said the company may be, quote, very well positioned to continue its strong performance as it heads toward the end of 2018 and into 2019. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans saying he's quite comfortable with the prospect of another interest rate hike in December. In a Bloomberg television interview, Evans, who has been among the more dovish Fed officials over the last decade, said that inflation data has improved significantly and that he's fine with the expected path for rates implied by markets and the latest projections from the Federal Open Market Committee. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 51, and NASDAQ futures up 19. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up next. With Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.